This is Bryn from Michigan. Our home resort is Beach Club. You're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to the MyDVC Points podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Monera Financial. If you're looking to buy or add on and you need to finance your contract, head on over to Monera Financial. If you've already financed your contract through Disney and you're paying more than 9.9%, check out their refinance program. We've helped listeners save hundreds of thousands of dollars. MoneraFinancial.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the MyDVC Points podcast. I'd like to welcome to the show today, Cindy Manning Swain. How you doing today, Cindy?
Pretty good, thanks.
So we found each other through the MyDVC Points community group. So how long have you been a DVC member and where are your home resorts?
So I've been a member for 2 years now, and my home resort is Bay Lake Tower and Riviera.
Okay, so it sounds like you might have got some direct and some resale in there?
Yes, I jumped into the direct when they announced the resale restrictions in early 2019. So I had my points, then I kept getting confused by what was available on basically on the website for experiences, because I heard you talking about like tours and such. So just to clear it up, I got 75 points direct at Riviera.
Oh, okay. So you made it in before it even went up to the 100, right?
Yes, I had been talking to somebody because I had been looking at buying. So she let me know that they were going to be going up to 100. So I jumped in and bought.
Got it.
It happened to fit in financially when I could afford it. So
awesome. How did you end up deciding the home resort of Bay Lake Tower in Riviera?
Well, Bay Lake Tower, we stayed there for our honeymoon. So my husband and I got married a couple of years ago at Walt Disney World. And we stayed 1 week at the Grand Floridian because we got married at the wedding pavilion. And then the second week we stayed at Bay Lake Tower and we just both fell in love with Bay Lake Tower.
Okay.
And so I kept looking at it.
So it's funny that you've got this great honeymoon connection over at the Grand Flo, but you actually liked Bay Lake Tower better. What room did you stay in at Bay Lake?
Well, my husband is in a wheelchair, so we need that accessible room. So that gives us a little bit less options. That makes it interesting. But we were on a Lakeview room. We had originally tried to book theme park, and evidently there's no roll-in shower theme parks. So we ended up with a roll-in shower Lakeview, which is like right beside the elevators on, I guess on either side, but we ended up staying, our room that we were on was on the Magic Kingdom side.
Oh, okay. So if you were right there by the elevators, you probably got a pretty decent Magic Kingdom view room from the balcony then, right?
We had an amazing view when my husband got to the room first on the honeymoon and I was out with some friends and he sent me the picture and my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe it.
Okay. Now, was that a studio, a one bedroom or a two bedroom?
It's a studio.
Well, that's interesting as well, because those studios have the reputation of being the smallest ones in DVC.
Yeah. When I was talking to a DVC person, too, I think on that trip and telling him about the plans, he was like, oh, yeah, when you go over to Bay Lake, it's going to feel so much smaller. But it didn't. And I don't know why, if it's because of the shotgun setup of the Grand Floridian or in versus Bay Lake, where it's a little bit of a pie shape. Not sure. Or if it's just that the accessible room happened to be bigger or because the bathrooms are different. That's some of the fun that I have is that the setup that you see online is different for the accessible ones.
Yeah, that is true. That can often happen that they redesign the room or lay it out a little bit better to be a little bit more friendly or a little bit more accessible to the handicap accessible standards. Although I think most of the rooms are, but it seems like they might go above and beyond for some of them.
They have, usually it's in the bathroom where there's more room, because you have to have enough room for the wheelchair or an ECV, depending on which standard you're looking at. They need to be able to turn around.
So obviously you found that the room at Bay Lake was quite accommodating if everybody liked it and you ended up buying in there.
We just loved the view and being able to see the fireworks from the balcony. We watched them every night. And when we went back, the first time I stayed on my points this February, we got the same room for a night because we had a split stay. One was the roll-in and one was an accessible tub. So we moved down a couple of floors, but we watched the fireworks as much as we could from the balcony.
Awesome. Where all have you guys stayed then from accessible rooms in DVC? I haven't really talked to very many families that have used the accessible room functionality.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, unfortunately, it's only been a couple, I think. I'm trying to think, because this February one was actually our first stay on points, because when I bought the contract, it had 7 points on it because I have a June use year. So February was the first time. And then I have Riviera booked, but I have been looking around. So it's really, I guess, just the Grand Floridian and Bay Lake.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
We did stay, interestingly, we did stay with a friend who bought into DVC before I did, my bridesmaid. So we stayed with her at Old Key West. And because that studio is so huge, we couldn't get into an accessible one, but we were able to use a walker and for, you know, where we needed it. So.
Oh, okay. So just due to the simple size of Old Key West studios, you guys were able to make do a non-ADA room, but through the use of a walker.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really having the room for the wheelchair to be able to turn around and spin and go where he needs it to go. So that's where the bigger room really, really helped.
Yeah, and I imagine over at Old Key West as well, it would probably help having a ground level floor, because then you could somewhat wheel straight in off of ground level as well.
We were on the second level, but we were that building just across the street.
Oh, okay.
And so it had an elevator. They worked with us and they were good getting us all set up.
I found Old Key West staff. There are some of the best people I found for room accommodations. We're batting 1,000 there at 4 stays. If they do that same level of service for all families, they're pretty hard to top in terms of accommodating room requests and needs and things along those lines. I love Old Key West and I love the staff there. Can't say enough great things about them.
Yeah, when I bought my points direct, I was going back and forth between Old Key West and Riviera, actually. Because of that stay that we had at Old Key West, I didn't think that I'd like it because it kind of doesn't have the greatest reputation, but I guess the rooms had already been redone when we were there. And it was just beautiful. It had a really nice atmosphere, just really laid back. It was beautiful and comfortable.
I think the Old Key West reputation really comes down to they've got their super fans. And I mean, they've got their people that are like, they dig Old Key West and that is their jam. And then there's another set of people that kind of look at this and go, I could take it or leave it. And they love the room size, but it's so far away from a lot of things. And it's so spread out as a resort that it's designed to have a car at.
Yeah, that's the only drawback for me for that place. Let's get the Skyliner going.
Skyliner makes everything better. Everything better. So what was it about Riviera that let you pick that as a home resort?
Well, part of it, I think, is the Skyliner. And then also having the Epcot access and being a little bit more upgraded. Because when I bought in, Riviera hadn't opened yet. And my DVC guide was very, she said, you're going to love it. It's really just beautiful and gorgeous. So I kind of trusted her on that because I bought in September or August and it opened in December and I hadn't seen it yet. So I was nervous about that. But the amount that I had heard of good things about the level of the resort, and because I was only buying 75 points, it's not a huge worry about, oh, well, I would have been better off over there. The cost more that I was paying wasn't that much more.
So it wasn't much more for Riviera. You probably had some more time on the contract.
Yes, that was the other thing.
That makes sense to me as well. Prior to buying into DVC, how did your family do Disney?
Well, We have an interesting history. We went in 2015, my husband and I. Well, actually, in 2012, we went back to Disneyland. Then 2015, we went to Disney World. We decided that we were going to get married. So I started looking into the Disney weddings. So we decided to get married in 2016. And we decided to go with Disney. So I think the first time in early 2017 is when I went with some friends. They had booked kind of a last minute weekend. And so we stayed at Art of Animation for a real quick 3-day thing. And so I got to see the updated wedding pavilion, which is gorgeous. And then I had another trip planned in April and I stayed off site at my other timeshare. Then when we went for the planning trip, so I went 3 times in 2017. And then when we went back for the planning trip, we were going to stay at my timeshare. But then the hurricanes came through, so we had to cancel, and we ended up staying at Music. And so since then, between the planning trip and the other trips outside of the wedding trip, we stayed pretty much at the All-Stars. And I was kind of starting to get tired of it. I just wanted a little bit nicer accommodations. We stayed at Pop a couple of times, too. So it was much more values for us, because every time I looked at it, I'm like, oh, it's so much more money. It's so much more out of pocket.
Yeah, so it does sound like you took the value road there. Now, you mentioned another timeshare. What other timeshare do you own?
I own Worldmark, and I have owned that since, I think, 1998. They are also point-based. One of the reasons why I bought into them is the same reason that you can use your points anywhere. So in that way, it's the same as DVC, except you don't have a home resort.
Oh, okay.
It's very flexible, but the accommodations are nowhere near as nice. The locations are not as nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much my opinion of almost every timeshare that's out there that's not DVC, with the exception to maybe like Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton. Maybe Wyndham, maybe. They're on the fence, right?
Worldmark got bought out, is now a part of Wyndham for a while, but they've been aimed at the kind of the mid-level people who just want to be able to have a vacation.
Got it. So then if you were to refer something to somebody else, which would you refer?
It depends on what they're looking for. If they enjoy the magic of Disney and they want to keep going back, then for sure DVC. And actually, I have a friend who is kind of in that same place. I found out that she also owns Worldmark, but she would really like to buy DVC to be able to stay on property. And she's actually renting points in a couple of weeks for her husband's 50th birthday, and she'll be on site there experiencing the world.
What's your thoughts on RCI?
Yeah, I've never used RCI. Worldmark owns RCI, but you have to pay extra to go there. And
got it.
I did use Worldmark for the wedding. There's another resort, it's like 7 miles out, where I put up several of my guests to help them be able to make the trip.
Oh, okay. So you were able to use the Worldmark and just booked your wedding guest off property then?
Yep. Yeah.
That's probably a fairly decent use of those points.
Yeah, I was really happy to be able to do that for them.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Orlando is if you're going to stay off property, there is 50 million places you can stay and 50 million timeshares out there that you can stay off property that are relatively inexpensive and easy to find and book and accommodate, just simply due to the fact that there's so many of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing more and more. I thought I knew a lot, but oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, what makes DVC special is all the other timeshares out there, they just drain another swamp in Orlando and they pop up a new timeshare building. But they can't really give you the on-site Disney experience with that on-site Disney quality. And so that's what makes DVC unique, is the fact that there's limited space here on property and they put our resorts in strategic locations. And there's a difference there.
There is. When we went in 2015, it was interesting because at that point, I hadn't been to Walt Disney World in 19 years. And a friend of mine who's still a cast member offered me her discount. So I'm like, ooh, I'm staying deluxe. So we stayed at Wilderness Lodge. I had a conference that I was going to. And that's why we were going to. On the days that I was at my conference, my husband just rolled up onto the transportation that's provided there. And he went off to the parks and had fun. And he didn't have to worry about asking anything. He was just able to do what he wanted to do. which was wonderful. They made it nice and easy for him.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. You get the Disney magic. He could go off and play or do whatever he wanted to do, however he wanted to entertain himself, which there's 50 bazillion ways to do on property. And he could send you off to work to your conference. I'll take that trip any day. I mean, let's go.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's hit some of our rapid fire questions here. Do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
Generally both, but I'm always wearing ears. It feels weird to not have ears on at the parks.
Okay.
And especially after I get home, it's weird not to be wearing a headband.
Mickey pretzel or churro?
Oh, probably generally a Mickey pretzel, but I think if I were in California, I don't think I've ever had a churro in Florida. I need to.
I'd say skip it. They're better in California. Mickey bar or Dole Whip?
Probably a Dole Whip. Now that I can get my Mickey bars at home.
Well, they're knockoff Mickey bars. They're not the Mickey premium bars we're used to. And I even question the word premium on property when you're buying them there, because they're no Ben and Jerry's. I'll put it to you that way. But
true.
Right?
Yeah.
The ones you get at the grocery store, they might hold you over. Okay. They can't hang with the original chomp an ear off in the park.
No, they cannot. But there's so many amazing things all over the parks that, yeah, we don't end up getting those things that much.
Yeah, that's true. The Mickey bars have a lot of competition.
Yeah, but we did have them at the wedding and people really liked them. So,
oh, that's cool. What's your favorite attraction?
I would have to say Rise of the Resistance right now. We've been lucky to be able to go on it on two different, we went there in December and we went there in February. And so we were able to go on it twice and it's amazing.
Favorite land?
Tomorrowland.
Favorite park?
Epcot. There's definitely a theme running there with kind of future oriented. And I finally was able to put the two together after several trips. I'm like, oh, you know, coming into Epcot, it's got that whole future looking thing and hopeful future.
Now that you mention it, I see it with the Rise of the Resistance and the Star Wars, you know, Batu, Galaxy's Edge, Tomorrowland, Future World, and Epcot. I'm starting to see that. I didn't pick that up until you do it. And I'm looking at your answers right here. What's your favorite place to have a drink or a dessert?
At this point, I think I'm just going to say the canteen in Galaxy's Edge. We went there with a bunch of friends this last February. And we had drinks there and it was just really nice. I have a whole bunch of Star Wars friends.
Oh, you can't beat Olga's. I'm telling you, it's really growing on my list. That fuzzy tauntaun is just the most unique thing I've ever had.
Yeah.
That whole lip tingling deal.
I got that both times.
Yeah, you gotta love the fuzzy tauntaun. What all is left on your DVC bucket list?
Oh, there's a lot on my bucket list. I really want to try Boardwalk and Beach Club, or, you know, at least stay at one of the Epcot resorts. I've got a reservation booked the end of October to stay at Riviera, and I'm really looking forward to that. But I want to try all the resorts because I'm new in my DVC membership. I also want to go to Aulani, and I'd love to be able to stay at Grand Floridian or maybe the new tower at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd
absolutely
like to be able to use the points there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could bank, borrow and your 75 points and stay there with the new restrictions. Or are your Bay Lake Tower points grandfathered because they were before?
They're grandfathered. Yeah. So I can use them anywhere. Yep. That's why I jumped in, because I had been looking at buying for years. I was trying to buy before the wedding, but yeah, we couldn't quite swing it then.
I'm looking forward to going to Aulani myself. It's one of those resorts that I don't know that I would want to own there, but I'm sure glad it's in the DVC network. That's kind of my take on it. But after I go there, it could change. The add-onitis at Aulani could hit.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that's what I thought that I would want to buy at Grand Floridian. And it turned out it was Bay Lake Tower that floored us. So that's the really nice thing about being able to rent and try things out. So, but I definitely want to go to Aulani and experience it.
Yeah. Now, where all have you rented points from?
We rented from DVC Rental Store for the wedding. And it was really, really helpful because you have to wait. You put in your request at a certain time and you have to wait for somebody to pick it up. And the gal was really nice with holding my hand as I was so worried because, again, the accessible rooms, I was more worried about the Grand Floridian. That took a little bit longer, but it got picked up fine. But Bay Lake I was not aware, and evidently the renter, they weren't aware that there's no roll-in showers at the theme park view, because we were going to have a really nice stay for our honeymoon. And so we had to get it rebooked because they just ended up doing the accessible tub, and we would much rather have the roll-in. So they booked us from theme park over to the lake view, and the owners were fine with that, thank goodness. And I'm still appreciative for both owners that rented to us on the wedding.
I really like using DVC Rental Store. They seem to follow through on their contracts. It's really great to hear that your member was so cooperative as well in adjusting the room so that we could accommodate the need for the roll-in shower. And
Yeah, I really appreciate that too, because it was less points. So obviously they're going to be getting less money, but they still went along with it. And so we were still able to book the room, and they marked on there that we were there for our wedding trip.
Awesome. And was there any additional pixie dust that Disney did for you on that trip?
You know what? Honestly, not so much. We got more pixie dust from the parks or the restaurants when we were there. On our planning trip, we had some shirts made up that say we're going to the castle to get married. Or actually, it was the first night that we got there for the wedding trip. And we went into Epcot, my favorite place. And we went into the gift shop over on the Mexico side. And I was looking around and had picked up some stuff, talking to some people. And they said, oh, well, wait, just hang on a minute. And they wanted to give us something. So they actually gave us a frame. Well, they gave us the option because they had to run over to the other store that's over on the Canada side and say, here, we'd like to give you this gift. So that was our real pixie dust that we got there. And then we went over to the restaurant in Mexico that's over the water, Hacienda San Angel.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. So we had dinner there and the server brought us champagne. And it brought us the champagne right before the show was going off. And so that was really wonderful. So we got pixie dust there, not quite so much from the accommodations, but that's okay. It was a really magical trip.
That's awesome. I always love to hear when Disney goes above and beyond to deliver that awesome guest experience.
Yeah, and I found it definitely a lot more with the front lines folks.
Oh, that's an interesting concept. So you were thinking that the front lines people did more than like leadership or management or Disney policies there?
Yeah, that's definitely the experiences that I've had, because there's been a few things where I've had things go wrong with rooms or with tickets, and I've tried to complain and I haven't gotten any help from them really.
Well, I think as best I can tell from Disney policy is they believe in empowering the frontline worker with the ability to make those decisions as to grant that or not. And so from what I can gather, management really doesn't try to undo or override what the frontline people do. Okay. Because they've already feel like they've given them the power to make that decision. So that's just been my takeaway from it. And I've talked to several people that have studied at the Disney Institute and kind of studied their customer service methodology. And it seems to be that's where you would kind of win that battle, so to speak, is right there at the frontline level. And for me, it's like all depends on whether they think you have a legitimate complaint or you're just complaining to try to get something.
Yeah. That's interesting on so many levels, because I used to work at Disneyland for 11 years. And at the end of that was when they were starting to give us the options to do some of that stuff. And I know it's come back because I left in 98. It's come a long ways since then.
Okay. Now, what did you used to do at Disneyland? Because this is an interesting part of the story as well.
I've got a lot of Disney history. So I used to work in merchandise. I was hired into Tomorrowland merchandise back in 1987. I worked there, put myself through school as a single mom while I was there. I got benefits. So I was taken care of for myself and my son. We had our benefits going through there, and I put myself through school. I was actually hoping to try to get into Imagineering, and I did a couple of internships with them. I did ride measurement and crowd measurement and stuff with them. But when I graduated, there weren't any openings, so I went out into the world.
Okay.
But the reason why I got the job was that they had put up a thing for a job fair, and I was like, oh, get a job at the happiest place on earth, make happiness for people? Yeah, I want to learn about how they do that.
Well, that's awesome. And so what was your chosen career or profession? Where did you go? Was it like design, engineering, something along those lines?
Well, the interesting thing is that after going to a tour of Imagineering through working at Disneyland, and I was like, oh, let me look into engineering. And then I looked at the different disciplines and I found industrial engineering, which is really kind of at the interface of the person and the workplace and using numbers and data to verify what's going on. So I have a degree in industrial engineering and a minor in total quality. So I've been in really business processes and business effectiveness. And at the moment, I'm in organizational development. So it's really kind of a nexus of all of that.
That's awesome. I know if you go back to episode 11, Nick Cotton was on the show and he tells us about
being
an industrial Imagineer. And it came up again in an interview that's going to air here pretty soon with Dan Cockrell as well. So I know Disney relies heavily on their IEs.
And it was interesting too, because when they had actually gotten rid of they didn't really get rid of it, but they renamed it Business Consultants or something. So they had renamed it and they're like, oh, we're going to get away from the industrial engineers. So there weren't a lot of opportunities, but I was talking to, there wasn't an industrial engineer that worked up at Imagineering. Well, actually, there were a couple because one of them had come back to Disneyland. And I remember him telling me a story of the Imagineers telling him, well, you'd just like it if it were a straight box going right on through because that's nice and easy and you have a lot of capacity. And yeah.
Yeah. No, I need a little deviations and variations to keep it interesting and the guests entertained in my straight box. So.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly why he laughed at it, because
yeah, it is interesting when you start talking with the cast members as to how these different groups come together and gel together and almost fight like family over how things get done. So I think that's an interesting backstory as well, but it's all in making the best possible customer experience out.
I think the starting class that you take at Disney University is You Create Happiness. And I don't know how much they're aware of it, but they really do create a safe place for people to be able to experience a whole bunch of potentially scary things, but yet it's still safe and you're able to accomplish it. So yeah, it makes sense that they've been doing well, especially with the repeat customers, people who have grown up with it. It makes sense that people want to come back, and hopefully we'll start to get a little bit more of that out in the rest of business that, hey, there's the humans that experience your business.
Yeah, that's a key point. So let's jump into our Tinkerbell question. If Tinkerbell were to put 1,000 one-time use points that you could book anything in the DVC system with guaranteed availability, how would you spend these pixie dusted points?
Well, first of all, I think I'd need several months to really work it out if it could really happen. But I was talking with my husband about it because I'm kind of stuck on this question because I want to work it out. I want to run the numbers, but
we got an app to help you.
Oh my gosh, I love the app. It is amazing. But
well, thank you very much.
Not enough has been said about that app. I love the stretch and looking at the options. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's funny because we do get a lot of comments on the stretch and splurge feature of that.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times people would only look at the stretch part, but not the splurge part, or to just go, well, for 6 more points, I can go to Boulder Ridge.
Exactly. To be able to see everything all laid out. I was looking at that for our next April trip that I have planned. I'm like, because I've got some points on my Bay Lake and then I have some points on the Riviera, and 7 month, 11 month are different. So I'm like, well, what can I do to combine them? And what can I do now trying to save points for 2021? So it's been really nice to look at the options and get a good idea of what I could do.
That's awesome. So what's the app telling you that you would do with these 2,000 points?
Well, I didn't look at the app because 2,000 is so many points. So I think after talking with my husband, what we would like to do is probably go to California and stay there, probably at the Grant, because they're pixie dusted. So I could actually get a studio or whatever I wanted to do at the Grand Californian. And we would go to Alani maybe after that and have some rest and relaxation after booking around California and being really busy there. And then we'd probably come back, and I think we'd have to do probably a bungalow at Poly. We were talking about the bungalows at Copper Creek, but being more on the water and having the views, Poly won out.
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Because you can either have the secluded cabin feel, or you can have the awesome fireworks views. That's a tough one. And then if you go Poly, you get a cold tub out there on the porch. And if you go Copper Creek, you get a hot tub.
Is it actually a jetted tub at Copper Creek, or is it just heated?
It's an actual spa, like heated hot tub that's out there in the little deck porch that's in, enclosed even. So you have your own enclosed hot tub. And Poly, you're out there over the water in a tub that's not heated. It's just... there's a special name for the pool there, but it's not heated. And that was like a epic fail.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And those are some of the little details that you get. I don't think I've really been able to find those things on the website, but this is what you get from the community.
Yeah, this is all part of the tribal knowledge that we specialize in.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, we're working on building a website wiki that we can put all of this knowledge into, but it's just taking forever and a day to get all the information and get it all into one consolidated website. But it is underway and it is going. And so that's what the big plan is how can we take all of this member opinion and get it built onto like 6 pages per resort of information? So everything from room maps to layouts to what I like about this, what I don't like about this, all of those member comments. And for lack of better terms, I just call it like tribal knowledge, because it's just wisdom that's passed around the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, sorry. I'm laughing because I'm having these flashbacks to work, because it's the same type of thing. How do we tell people, here's how we're going to do things, here's the limit of things, and you can only write so much down. That's really, really the hard part, is getting things written down.
Yeah, and clear and concise and accessible. Because what we found is, man, DVC's been around for 20 plus years, and there's some really great user boards and forums out there. But it's about getting that information into a clear, concise, easy to find location. That's kind of what our goal is. And getting it laid out in the latest web technology so that it's responsive and mobile friendly and just easy to come in, use, consume, and contribute, because this is a wiki.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it's coming along. Rob Madiri's leading that up, and we'll be reaching out here pretty soon to get like a resort champion per resort, where somebody says, okay, I'm going to own this resort. You can send everybody to me to get their information and we'll collect it. So that's what we're working on for one of our next coming big projects. And it's all about just gathering community information.
Okay. Yeah, that works, because that way with having a wiki, everyone's interested in different aspects. I'm going to be interested in the handicap accessible information, like alternate room layout. Where does every category have rooms? But not everybody's going to be interested. So with a wiki, you can kind of bury that onto a subpage or just a link.
Yeah.
And I could go over there because I'm interested in that. Not everybody is.
Yeah, that's it. But there's a community of people that's interested in that. Like, I didn't know that everything next to the elevators was the handicap accessible rooms, and that there was no accessible theme park view rooms.
Yeah.
So that's a great little golden nugget that we've pulled out of this episode.
Yeah, that was huge. But gosh. At least they gave us good rooms.
Mm-hmm. But that's the stuff that people want to know. And like, if you're researching buying this, I would hate to have known that somebody bought Bay Lake Tower thinking that they could always get a theme park view accessible room when there are none.
Well, yeah, it's
now, the good news is
shower. They do have accessible, but they don't have the roll-in shower. So it depends, again, on your level of accessibility that's needed.
Yeah, but that's like the really great information we're going to try to get footnoted in there on that room page.
Awesome.
So that we can start to database all of this information and make it easy for people to make decisions.
Awesome.
You know, my take is yes, I love my resale. Yes, I love the fact that DVC Resale Market sponsors the show. But at the end of the day, they were all direct guides as well that have now started to work for Nick at Resale. So we have this shared deal of people need to make an educated and informed decision about what's best for their family. So how do I come back in and gather information so people can go do that? That's really the service that we're trying to provide for the community.
Awesome. Yeah, I know I consumed a lot of that as I was looking around and trying to figure out, because I've been looking at buying DVC since the first time I went to Florida in, I don't think I looked the first time I went in 1990.
Well, in 1990, it wasn't available.
Right. But in 96, when I went as a cast member and stayed at Wilderness Lodge, I was looking at it then.
And then even then, if I remember my dates right, didn't you say about 98 you bought into Worldmark?
Yep.
At that point in time, that was a failure on DVC's part to sell you their timeshare. They could have brought you into the community right then.
They could have, but then that was a disagreement with my then boyfriend because, yeah, that was the point in time where they said that, hey, you could apply the cost of all this, from what I remember, because 25 years ago, you could apply the cost of your stay to buying DVC. And I was like, yes, I know I'm going to want to come back. My boyfriend didn't agree, but 25 years later, he now has more points than me. So,
really?
Really.
Oh, man. I was going to say that would have been reason to make him the ex-boyfriend right there, if you ask me, Cindy. So enough said. I don't need any more info.
Yep.
Well, at least he came around. So that's some great news there.
He did. Yeah. He still adores Disney. He just didn't think he'd be traveling there this much. And yeah, I think he changed his mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all take time to make our decisions and it takes some of us more time. I know I was on the fence for a solid 15 years before I bought in. But anyways, I want to thank you for being on the show today, Cindy, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was an honor. I love the podcast.
Well, that puts another episode in the books. I'd like to thank DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for sponsoring season 5 of today's show. Also, just a reminder, we talked about it briefly in the show. If you could, download the MyDVC Points app and see if that app is worthy of a 5-star review. And speaking of those, I'd like to thank CreamCheese27 for this awesome review. This has become one of my favorite Disney podcasts. I love how Chad integrates the DVC community into his programming. Whether it's here on the podcast or in the community hall shows, he emphasizes what DVC is all about, and that is a bunch of Disney super fans from all across the globe, all walks of life, who have found joy in this amazing product and found it part of their identity. Thank you, Chad. I hope to see you in the parks one day. Absolutely. I love running into listeners in the parks, meeting you guys. As a matter of fact, now our whole team has now started to give away some MyDVC Points magnets when we run into you guys in the parks. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully you found something in today's episode that'll help you go out there and plan something magical for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know we'll come back with DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.